Rolling. Well, if I can get it. There we go. Alrighty. Now, today's date is July the 27th, 1998. Mm-hmm. If you don't care, just go ahead and state your name.
Lula Stamper Begley.
Okay, and Mrs. Begley, we're in hiding today. And I guess let's just start off. Tell me about where you grew up. Mm-hmm. Where you were born and where you grew up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was born in Knott County, mm-hmm. Tar Creek, in 1912, August the 12th, 1912, mm-hmm. long time ago. And so I stayed there and went to school for a little bit. And then in 1920, I guess, my mother died. And when she died, in 21, I guess, then that fall, Dad took me to Hindman to see Miss Stone. And she first didn't have room for me, but then when she knew that Mother was gone, she said for me to come that fall. So that was 1922, I guess.
Yeah.
So that fall I did go, and to a little girl's house, and there was another family there, Franklin's. Myrtle and Gertrude and Dallas Franklin and their little brother were there. So we were all in one room because their mother had just died and the little boy was crying. So the little boy stayed with us that night.
Oh.
But then the next day, Miss Furman took him. Miss Furman had a little boy's house.
Mm-hmm.
So she had him and kept him. So finally, he was adopted by some family later. So, at the little girl's house, we always, Mrs. Foster was, I guess, the house mother then, and she'd always read a story to us at night. And she'd sit between two rooms and read the story. She read all these good books we should know, Anne of Green Gables and Girl Wimber Lawson, and all those books, you know, and
yeah.
She would read them to us. So later she was librarian, and then later on, I worked in the library with her. But we each had a job to do in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Even the little girls had to do something, work before we'd go to breakfast. And after breakfast, we had something to do before we'd go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And the larger girls did the dishes and such as that. So later on, we stayed in the little girl's house about the sixth grade, I guess it was. Then we went to Hillside and stayed at Hillside. And then from Hillside, we went to the ninth grade. We'd go to practice home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether the practice house is there now or not.
No, it's not there anymore.
And anyway, there were six girls that stayed at practice house
yeah.
for a year, and we did them. We ran, we bought the food and did everything like we were at home for a year. Then after that, we went back to Orchard House for the grown-ups, and I stayed there until I graduated.
Okay, that's interesting. Hold on just a second. Okay, go ahead. Now, we were talking about the different places that you were living and things. And let me back up just for a minute. You said
mm-hmm.
that your dad brought you to Hyman after your mother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard several other people, that's how they ended up at Hyman also. That's something I found that, or maybe like a father passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
I guess, what was your situation? I mean.
Well, of course, there was a little school there.
Yeah.
But, just all eighth grade, you know.
Oh, that's right.
But we went there to, the school was much better and all.
Uh-huh.
And then a place to stay. Of course, I had sisters and
uh-huh.
And then my dad, but my other sister, one sister went to West Virginia, stayed with one of those uncles and my brother. But then my other sister married this one, 96 years old. But now during the summer, I would usually come back there and stay with my sisters during the summers, and all. But of course, now we didn't pay very much. Seems to me it's $10 we were supposed to pay then. And then we worked, of course, and then we each had a scholarship from somebody, usually up north, would say, and I believe it's $150 a semester or something for us. And we'd always write to them and thank them for it. So we knew who it was. Sometimes they would write us or send us something. And I know the one I was supposed to have one when in Boston along, and he was going to send me to Wellesley, but he died in the meantime.
Oh, no.
And, well, see, there was 120 students stayed in the settlement.
When you were there?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There was Eastover for the big boys, and Miss Watts had that then. She wasn't, Miss Stone had charge of thing, and then later Miss Watts took over for Miss Stone, or she was her assistant or something.
Yeah.
And she didn't do too much then. Then there was a little boy's house. The little boy stayed, Miss Furman. And Miss Furman's written a book, Mother Nonpareilous.
Yeah.
And another one I think she's written. And then dormitory, each house had a house mother.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the house mother always tried to teach us what to do, how to brush our teeth, and what to do before we go to bed. And we went through all of that. But we were always trained to do right, and even at the table. At the table, there were, I believe there was 10 tables, 12 at each table, I guess. And there was always a teacher at the head and one at the foot. And of course, they'd always ask the blessing. And we had to eat everything. We couldn't leave anything on our plate. And of course, we were taught how to eat and how to hold our forks and so forth, taught manners. And then at night, we always had them. Each table would take turns having the devotions. We'd have devotions. One would read the Bible and have prayer. And that went around the table. And so that was done at night. But during the other times, it was just blessings, and that was it. And then I remember the dietitian, she always sat at her table and watched and carried on. And I was always thin when I was little, so she decided I needed cauliflower oil, so she'd always make me come by her place and take a spoon of cauliflower oil. Well, I still have my teeth, so maybe that was a good thing. Because the dentist couldn't believe I still had the teeth. I said, yes. So, of course, she would oversee how the dishes were washed and everything. The girls did that.
Mm-hmm.
So we all worked. We all had a job, and it was each year we were assigned a job. And
what were some of the different jobs that you had when you were working there? Well,
when I was a little girl, of course, there'd always be a big girl, and then another one, and then a little girl would do the little odd things. I guess when I was a little girl, we'd fill the pitchers with water and the rooms and the trash, take out the trash and do things like that. And then when I was older, once I worked in the library. Ms. Foster, that was the house mother, was in the library then. And then there was another librarian, Julia Hammett.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked in the library when she was there. And so later I stayed with her in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, and when I was going to college. And then I, in the school, we'd clean the, I worked at the school when we'd have the school, we'd have to wash the windows and sweep the rooms and so forth. There'd be several. There'd be two grown-ups and then two smaller ones and then a small one, two, in each place. And of course, the some helped in the kitchen. I don't believe I ever worked in the kitchen. Of course, they had cooks.
Right.
Several cooks, but then they'd have these others to help and to serve the table and serve the food and so forth. And one of the cooks had typhoid. And she died.
Of course.
And so later, I guess, and the one, and I worked at Orchard House, and the girl there had typhoid. And I thought, well, gee, oh, I hope I don't get it. And I was the little girl there then.
Yeah.
But I did get typhoid.
Oh, no.
So I stayed, I guess, a month in the hospital, maybe. And I remember all they wanted to do was give me castor oil in orange juice. And they had to pour it down me because I couldn't take it.
Oh, God.
And they checked, finally found out what was wrong. It was one of the cows. See, they had all these cows the boys would milk,
yeah,
and so forth. Now, they must have had about 14 cows, I think. So they had them checked, and one of them had TB. Gave the typhoid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was from the milk. And they had the water checked and all, and so they had to destroy the cow, you know. I think it was just one, I've forgotten. Anyway, I went back to my dad, came for me after I got able to leave, and so I stayed at my sister's then.
Mm-hmm.
And that summer, and then I came back to school the next year. But I still was a little crippled from the typhoid.
So how many years did you live at the settlement school?
Mm-hmm.
You came in 22. Did you stay there all the way up until you graduated?
8, I guess.
Wow, that's a long time.
Then after I graduated, I went to center for 2 years, and I went on to Boylston and finished. Then I came back to Hyden.
Uh-huh.
And I did social work here for a year. It was WPA. It was during the Depression, you know.
Right.
I finished in 34 up there, and that was 35. Then that closed. This WPA did, you know. I was a home visitor, went around to give out checks and check the homes and all like that. Then I went back to Hyndman. From here, I went to Hyndman, and I did that youth one. I forgot what it was called. It was a government thing, some sort of youth. I had charge of other children there.
Uh-huh.
And we did, we cleaned up some cemeteries, and we did library, and we did books. Because James Steele was there then. He had come. That was about the time, I guess about the time he came. He hadn't been there when I went to school. I guess he was there then. He taught typing and then had a library. And I know we did some books. We would mend the books and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something to give these students work, I guess. And they got a check for it, you know. So then they needed a first grade teacher. And Miss Watts was charge of the place then. Miss Stone, I believe she might have been dead by then. I don't know. I don't remember whether she was dead. Anyway, she asked me if I would teach the first grade. So I said, well, I really wasn't trained for first grade. I had, you know, high school. But, well, she wanted me to go to UK and take some work. So I did go to UK, and I took reading and first grade stuff, you know, for.
Yeah.
So I came back and taught the first grade and for 3 years there. And then this year there was a Margaret Taylor. Well, anyway, Margaret Taylor saw my picture in the paper that I'd been Hyndman, and she thought, well, now that was my teacher. I don't remember, you know, I had to be.
Right, yeah.
So she wrote me, and she said, I think you were my teacher in the first grade. And she said, oh, I enjoyed it so much. Said, we did all these games. She'd tell all the things I did, and I don't remember any of it. So she wrote me, and she wanted to come by and see me, so she came to see me once. And then I saw her, I guess I didn't see her over there, but I saw her this last year. She was there. Mm-hmm. And this last year, she brought a basket of apples, and she said, all the time you were my teacher, said, I thought so much of you and didn't ever give you an apple. So she brought me this basket of apples. She said, this is a long time giving you, the teacher, an apple. But
well, she must have liked you an awful lot then.
Well, she said she really did, but you know, I can't remember that. I hope I was a good first grade teacher, but she said I was. But, oh, she'd tell all the games we did and the songs and the stories and so forth. I don't remember any of that, but she seemed to remember it all. When I went to Hindman first, all of our teachers were from up north.
What was that like?
They didn't talk like we did,
right.
Of course. And they were from Wellesley and Smith and Vassar, all the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't believe there was any then, but you see, later they had the ones around here, but now then they got them all from. And of course, I guess they paid them very little. But I remember they were supposed to have long hair, and there was one teacher, we saw her one night, and she had short hair. She'd always had it tucked up, you know, so cause she was supposed to have long hair or something. And so they had to be so, the teachers did. Of course, they were all good teachers and all, and I guess they taught us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That they didn't know around in the mountains. Of course, they weren't used to the mountains, but they soon came accustomed to them, I guess.
Yeah.
I remember one was wanting to ride. This was Carl Perkins' daddy, and they called him Humpy Jim Perkins. And he loaned her his horse. And so she went horseback riding, and she came back, and she said, oh, you have the finest horses. He just gallops up the hill, said, I just made it gallop up his hill. He said, well, you won't get to ride my horse anymore if you run it up the hills. She thought that's what she was supposed to do.
Yeah.
So, of course, we enjoyed, I guess, being in Hindman. And then on Sunday afternoons when we were in Orchard House growing up, we'd always take a walk. And there'd be a teacher with us. Boys and girls would go together. But there was always a teacher when we'd go up just around there on a walk. But now every Sunday, we went to Sunday school and church. We didn't ever miss Sunday school and church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which church did you go to? Did you go to different ones?
Yes, we would go to different ones. Well, finally, I went to Methodist. I joined the church, Methodist Church, while I was there. I guess I was 16, so I joined the Methodist. And after that, I went to the Methodist. We could go to either one we wanted to, the Methodist or the Baptist. But the teachers would go along with us, you know, but we'd always go.
Did you, we were talking about your sister earlier. Did she live on campus too? Did she live at the settlement with you?
No.
Oh, she didn't, okay.
Mm-mm.
So it was just, you were the only one in your family.
I was the only one there, mm-hmm.
Was that hard for you at first?
Yes, I guess it was.
Yeah. I mean, how did you, I don't know if you remember, but I mean.
I guess I was homesick. I guess I cried some, you know, and mm-hmm. so forth, but. We always had a house mother that was good to us, you know, and she'd always, especially the ones that, smaller ones, and I was one of the smaller ones, and these girls, these Franklin girls were too, because mm-hmm. most of them were older than I was, you know, and I went there.
But the house mothers took pretty good care of you?
Oh, yes, they did. Mm-hmm. They would always check on us. And, tell us what to do, you know, and see that we dressed right and everything, you know.
Were they ever very strict, or?
Yes, they were strict, especially when we got to the Orchard House. Miss
really?
Elkins was the house mother there, a dietitian.
Yeah.
She was something else.
She, what was she like?
Well, to start with, of course, she had them. She still had the, was in charge of the food, and she was from Battle Creek, Michigan. We had that kind of food. I guess the food was good. We always had those little biscuits, beaten biscuits, I guess. And the food was all health food, just healthy, all we had. Well, she would check, she would always check us when we'd go to school. She'd look at her face to see if we had any powder or anything on. We weren't allowed to use powder or anything, you know.
Oh, my God.
So, no. So, if we had powder or rouge, we'd had to go back upstairs and wash her face. So, we had to dress so-so for her. They finally got rid of her.
Oh, really?
I remember, yes.
What happened?
Well, she was, I guess maybe she was too strict and about everything, I don't know. And then, and in the kitchen, in the dining room, when we washed the dishes, after we washed the dishes, we'd have to take, now I've done that some too. Sometimes I worked in the dining room. I worked in every place there, I guess. I did, there was one I didn't work in. And we'd have to wash the dishpan and have it shining, and she'd get it and turn it around and look at it. And if there's one little spot or anything didn't shine, we'd have to do it over. And so
I'd be in there forever.
So I remember I did it about 3 times, and I said something. I got mad about it. I said, well, that's the best I can do. And she said, well, you will go see Miss Watts. And so I remember I went up there because she didn't do anything. She just talked, you know. I said, she said, what'd you say? She just said, I said something about I didn't do the dishpan right. But she was finicky like that, and I don't know. So someone told me later that they made her leave, and she got real mad about it. So she's getting so cranky about everything, you know, and with all the students and the food and all. So I don't know what ever happened to her. So she went to Lexington, and somebody said, Miss Stone was still alive. And she went to see her, and she wouldn't let Miss Stone in the room. So I don't know. Anyway, they had someone else instead of her after that. Mm. So.
Well, tell me a little bit about Miss Watts. What kind of what you thought of her your years there? She would have been there, I guess, the whole time that you were there.
Yes, she was there. When I went, she was a house mother of the boys.
Uh-huh.
Young like then, you know.
Yeah.
And well, we liked her. I mean, then later she came to Hillside.
Yeah.
And worked there, and I had worked there when she was there, and she was always liked her, you know. And we'd clean the room. I cleaned her room and all. And then later she did the place the students. She would place us in different places, you know, to work and all. She did all, she had a lot of work to do to get all that done for 120 students, you know, every year. And well, we always liked her. And then after I was a teacher, because I'd always go up the hillside and we'd go up and I don't think we played cards. We did games or something. I can't remember what games we'd do up at the hillside with her. I used to.
Yeah.
Maybe we did cards. I don't know now what we did, but yeah, I always liked Miss Watts. And she wanted the students all to become something and get an education. You know, she.
Yeah.
She was interested in the students, in helping them, in all of them.
Because I know that I've talked to different people, and they've talked about how she was pretty demanding, a demanding woman, and kind of, I don't know, a lot of people said they were afraid of her, just from her, I guess, her demeanor.
Well, yes, because she was head of the thing. I don't think I was ever afraid of her.
Yeah.
I guess I might have been more Miss Stone than that, but Miss Stone was, Miss Stone was a gracious lady, but she was quiet, you know, and different from Miss Watts, altogether different.
Yeah.
Miss Watts would talk and, you know, carry, and Miss Stone was a little bit different than Miss Watts. And no, I wasn't afraid of Miss Watts. But now, Miss Stone, I guess I felt a little odd with her. Because when I was down at Danville, she came down there. Haskell Johnson, that other boy, yeah. I guess she really had two scholarships for students from there, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or she paid for scholarships, two would you go from there. So I was one at the women's department of center then. And Haskell was there. So she came down to see us.
This was Miss Stone?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Miss Stone came down to see us.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And she came, I didn't know she was coming, and she came over and in a taxi and had me to go to eat dinner that night.
Yeah.
And then when we got ready to leave, she said, now, I said, well, I'll go back. I walk to town all the time back and, you know, didn't think anything about it. She said, oh, no, said, you don't get out at night by yourself, do you? She said, I have to take you back. So she got a taxi and got right in that taxi. She was a large woman, you know.
Yeah.
Which brought me back. She wasn't going for me to come by myself.
She didn't think that was very
oh, no, that wasn't a thing for a girl to do, to be out. She was more like that.
That's funny.
Yeah, Miss Watts, of course, believed in obeying the rules and all like that, but I didn't think of her as being too strict, of course. She had to be with that many people, of course.
Right.
Students, you know. But I always thought she was kind to all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody said that she was mean, just that.
Yeah, just strict.
She was very businesslike. You know?
Well, that is right. She was.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But you see, I was with her, too, after I was back to a teacher, so that made a little bit difference when I was a teacher, you know,
yeah.
After there. Because I, while I was teaching, I had this government job. They called me and wanted me to take a government job. I forgot some other place. And so I said to Miss Watts, I said, you know, school wasn't out. I said, I'm thinking about taking that. And she said, now you shouldn't do that. Said, now you know Miss, I guess Miss Stone was alive. She said, now Miss Stone wouldn't approve of that. Said, you should stay on. And she didn't want me to go at all. And she
yeah.
said, so I finished. No, Miss Stone was alive. Miss Stone came to my wedding. That's right. So she was still alive. Because Miss Stone came over here when I married her in Hyden.
Uh-huh.
And Miss Stone came. So, but now Miss Watts wasn't going for me to not finish the school. She said,
yeah,
so I stayed.
She wanted to keep you, I reckon.
So I finished the year out.
Hmm. Well, did you ever know Miss Pettit?
No, that was before my time.
Yeah. Had you heard anything about her?
Yes, I'd heard a lot about her.
What were some of the things you heard about her?
Oh, she was really some woman, I guess. She came to Pine Mountain. And she was the one that was sort of bossy, they always said. And so she came on to Pine Mountain and started Pine Mountain School then. And, I don't know. I guess I hadn't asked. They told once here, I heard, that she married somebody, but don't think she did. I don't think that was right.
No, I've never heard that either.
They told that there, but I think that's wrong. So I really didn't know much about her, just from what I'd heard.
Did you know Miss Burns?
Who?
Miss Burns?
Yes.
What was she like?
Oh, I liked her. I think I have a picture of Miss Burns.
Uh-huh.
She was, I liked her very much. She was kind and she was interested in all the students, and she was especially interested in the farms and the barns and everything. That's what she did. She took care, and the boys. She was forth. I think I have a picture of some of that. And so she always taught the, did some sort. And the maypole, we always had the maypole.
Yeah.
And then Miss Stone would sit up on the porch and watch.
So you all always did that?
On the 1st of May.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's my graduation when I graduated then. I thought I had that picture of.
That's okay if you can't.
Well, it doesn't matter. It was just, yeah, we were dressed up in daisies and paper plates, right. Paper things. Oh. But now she did all of that.
Uh-huh.
She was good. Gained
Oh, no, it won't hurt it a bit. Won't hurt it at all.
But now she was special.
Uh-huh. And that was Miss Foster. Yeah.
She was the first one that, my first half mother.
Yeah. It just clicked off. I'll turn it back on.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all did the, were there other games that y'all played a lot, like folk games and things?
Yes. Then we had this recreation house.
Yeah.
That we'd go up and do folk games. Now, there was Miss Marvel taught that. She was especially good. So we would go I forgot how often we'd go up and do those folk games.
Uh-huh.
She taught them. And then she would come around to the classes and teach them games in the classes. When I had the first grade, she'd come to the first grade class. And once a week, I guess, and teach new games, you know, something different. So they'd always like to have another teacher come in. I don't know whatever happened to Miss Marvel. But she always planned programs for the different students and for the teachers, too.
Yeah. What about Christmas? Was that a...
Oh, yes, that was something. We always looked forward to that. We would go to the hillside and on Christmas Eve. Of course, we'd decorate everything. We'd be decorating then, and we'd go to the hillside Christmas Eve and get our stocking and put our name on the stocking. And then we'd hang it up around the... I have a picture of that, too, there somewhere. Around the chimney, around the fireplace.
Uh-huh.
And then the next morning, of course, I don't know how they managed, but they managed to give everybody something, even the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd come back and the girls would have their, the little girls have the stockings around the chimney on the, so the dolls would all be standing out in the stockings. So the next, we couldn't wait Christmas morning to come and get our stocking, and we'd have to wait until it was given to us. One of the teachers would get down and hand it to us, you know. So we always got that something in the stocking. And sometimes some clothes and books maybe, and then toys. And
where did all those gifts come from?
Hmm.
Where did all that come from, do you know?
Yes. It was sent in, mostly from the north, from people up the north. They sent in. For a long, long time, they'd start sending things in, and they'd save them and have them ready for Christmas, you see. And they'd send in clothing, too, from the north. These wealthy people up north, they just sent money in, you know, and sent the gifts in.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now, usually... See, everyone had a scholarship, had some person that was paying so much for them.
Yeah.
And usually that person would send something in, too.
Right. That's really nice. I mean.
And so I guess they still have names of those people. I don't know. I get, they're all dead by now, of course.
Yeah.
But.
So what did you think about that? I mean, you had these people that were sending money and support and things from far away. I mean, what did, I guess, how did you feel about that?
Well, we really didn't know that they were doing that.
Okay.
We didn't know that they did that, you see.
Yeah.
There was, I know they sent it in for each of them. Only thing we knew, we would, they'd tell us to write a thank you letter to somebody, give the address or something, and we'd write a thank you. Mm-hmm. But we didn't understand that they were sending money to help it go.
Okay.
So of course, now what we were supposed to work for our tuition, you know.
Yeah.
And we each worked so much. Every day, so that's what we thought we were paying by working.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the friends you had maybe growing up. Maybe tell me about a best friend or a close girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Either in grade school or high school that you spent a lot of time with.
Well, of course, I guess Alta Banks was really my best friend. And so she was there with me. She lived not too far from me at the time. And she didn't come to the settlement until, I guess, a year or two after I did. She first stayed with her uncle, Smith. And then she came. Then my cousins were there, Ida and Bernice and Zella Stamper. So they stayed, I don't believe they graduated there. Maybe they did. I don't believe they did. And they were good friends. And then I had several good friends out in town. Mm-hmm. See, these were settlement ones, but the town ones came to school too.
Right.
But, they didn't do a lot of the games and things that we did, you see. They just came. And there was one I liked especially. It was Lois Fugit. She married Hillard Smith. Hillard is dead now. I don't know about her. I haven't heard. And Alma's still alive. I always liked Alma. She was a friend. Alma Pigman.
Yeah, I was at her house just the other day.
You were?
Uh-huh.
Well, I always liked Alma. She was, of course, she was out in town, so
yeah.
We didn't see as much of the ones as in town. The only
right.
time we'd see them at school. But
mm-hmm.
See, we did things with these others. And then on Friday nights, we always had parties, too. The settlement children did, you see, just
what
the same.
What kind of parties?
Well, just playing games. The boys would come and the girls together. There'd always be teachers, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we'd just do games. And sometimes they'd have some sort of treat. Sometimes they would have something to give us, candy or something, you know. It depended on what teacher would do that. And So we always had some kind of a club. Sometimes they called them clubs. We'd have clubs on Friday nights. But on Friday nights, we always did some socials, they'd say.
Uh-huh.
But I guess now they'd be dancing, but we didn't dance then.
Yeah.
No. We'd do the folk games sometimes.
Yeah.
On Friday nights, we do folk games. And this, now, Maud and Marie Stewart, they were friends of mine. Marie was a year ahead of me. She graduated the year before I did. And Maud, I don't believe she graduated, because I asked her uncle. I saw them over at the
banquet the other night, and he told me that Maud was in Florida. So I don't know. They were twins. Maud and Marie were twins. And Marie was always the bright one. And she went on and finished, I guess. And I don't believe that Maud did. And then Marie, you see, is the one that her daughter wrote this book that Mike gave me. I have it over there.
Her daughter's going to be using this stuff to write a book, too.
Uh-huh.
These interviews and things.
Yeah. Well, Marie was a good friend. I like Marie. She was always... And I liked her. Well, I don't remember what happened to Maud, but it seems to me she did stop coming to school or something. I don't remember what happened. But I remember once I went home with them. I don't know where they had a home or not, but I went to Bert's, her brother's. Bert Stewart. He lived up on, what did they call that? Leburn up in there somewhere. Okay. And so I went home on weekend with them at Bert's. And I guess these boys that were there the other night, they must have been little boys then. There was two Stewart boys and me in there. And they probably were there that night. I don't know. And they were telling me that Maud, they thought, lived in Florida. So when I'm down there, I'm going to look up. They gave me her address. Barbara has a house in Tampa, and we go down there in the winter, and I'm going down there this winter, and I usually stay 2-3 months down there.
Mm-hmm. Well, after you graduated from high school and you went to center for a couple of years, and then you went off to Boston,
mm-hmm.
What was that like? I mean, had you ever been that far away from
home? No, indeed I hadn't. I went on a train by myself. I'd been on a train before, but just a little bit, because I remember Isla Stamper, that's Oliver's sister, took Alta and me to Cincinnati on the train once, to the zoo. But that's the only time I'd been on the train. No, when I went on the train, I had a sleeper, and I didn't know how to work it. You know, I had to get in there and go. So I managed to get there to Long Meadow. First, I went to Judy's.
Mm-hmm.
And... So that was something now. Then, of course, it was all different up there. And if they didn't understand me, they'd say, "What did you say?" They couldn't understand my talking. So then I worked. I stayed with the family there that summer, a little boy and girl. And the mother was going to have a baby, so I sort of companion to them, took care of them.
Uh-huh.
And then I went on to Boston. Of course, Judy was always there with me, too, showing me what to do. And Julia Hammett.
Yeah.
That was one that was at Hindman. And, in fact, there was another teacher. Katie, she was Mrs. Perry. Katie, when I was a little girl, she was at the end of the table. And I sat beside of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a third grade teacher. And I first was in her class, and she said, "Well, you need to go to the fourth grade." So I went on to Miss Underwood's class. And this Miss Katie, she married afterwards. Her boyfriend came to see us in Europe or someplace. So she left, and when I went to Boston, when I went to Springfield, in fact, she sent the money for me to come on the train. Miss Perry did. And so now she was the one when I was first in Hindman. She sat there at the end of the table with me. And then when I went up there, she had two little girls. And so I visited her some too. And they would take me to different places, you know, to musicals and so forth. And then I worked in Starleton in a village up there. She got this job for me one summer. Starleton was a village, a remodeled village, and I was a hostess there to show visitors the houses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then every Friday night they had dances. They had these square dances that people in town would come and pay to them. So Ms. Perry, that was Miss Katie, she was Mary Perry, she insisted that I teach them how to do the square dance. And I knew how to square dance. And so she got a group of boys, the YMCA thing, and I taught them how to do a square dance. So we had to perform one night to do that square dance for these others. And they said, so I had to call it and all. So that was something. Of course, Dad, when I was in Boston, I took speech too.
Yeah.
So Miss Black was the teacher, and we had to get him to make a speech. So I was making one, and then she said we would criticize him, you know, take.
Uh-huh.
And she asked this boy. She said, "Well, now tell me about Lula's speech." He said, "I couldn't tell. I didn't know a thing she said."
Oh, no.
I couldn't understand her. I think they partly just said that.
Yeah.
So I'd have to do it over. But now, and I'd go in a store, you know, and they would ask me. They would say, "Now, what did you say?"
Right, because it was so different.
So, yes, and.
That's crazy. So then you came back to Hyman, where you spent all those years and became a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Was that kind of odd? Or, I mean, what did it feel like you'd been there for so many years and you were a student, you lived there, and then you came back to teach these kids?
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
Well, I enjoyed it. It was, of course, there in Boston was always different. Everything was different there. And I had a boyfriend there, too, in Boston.
Uh-huh.
But he had been to Center College. So after I came back to teach, he came to Hyman once to see me, but he and his brother drove down there once. When I got back to Hyman, it was fine. I enjoyed it, you see. I had been here at Hyman, and I had met Walter in the meantime. And he often came over there to see me. So I would usually go on weekends. I'd go to my sister's, and we'd go places, you know, on weekends. You know, but it was, I enjoyed the settlement because I was used to everything about it, and it was good to be back. And I just forgot all about Boston, I guess, after that.
Yeah. No, I think that's amazing. Thinking back on it now, what kind of impact has the settlement school had on your life? I mean,
Yes, I think it has really taught me what to do and act and so forth. I mean, I got so much from it. It really, I went there when I was young, and it helped form my life, I guess, and my ideas and the way to live. Because I got it all from the settlement, I guess, or from the teachers there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, one thing, I guess, Miss Elkin was so particular about everything. I said, well, I think I got a lot from her. She was so particular about everything.
Uh-huh.
Clean. Everything had to be spotless. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have a fly anywhere. So she sure taught you to not have any germs around. And so you did get that from her, if nothing else.
Well, is there anything that I haven't asked you about maybe that you think would be important including in? I mean, I've tried to ask you all the different questions about your time there.
Yeah.
But is there anything that I've left out that you thought about?
Well,
or maybe just the story or something that you would want to tell about your time there.
Well, then we always enjoyed Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
We did always have a big Thanksgiving dinner. We always had the turkey and all the fixings.
Uh-huh.
So we would usually stay there for Thanksgiving. Sometimes some would go home, but you could stay if you wanted to. We had a, you know, 2 days vacation or something. And the same way with Christmas, you know, we could go home for Christmas or we could stay there. And they always had Christmas dinner too and had special then. And it was always a special one. The food was special. And we always had plays too at the school. Uh-huh. I guess I didn't say that. Usually the seniors would have a play, you know, and the graduating class would usually have a play. And now Miss Cobb usually did those. Sometimes some other teachers helped. But they always had, I remember they had Pinafore 1 year. And sometimes they had some good singers could sing in them, you know. I wasn't one of them, but so we did learn quite a bit while we were there, you know. That we wouldn't have learned otherwise if we hadn't gone to the settlement. And I certainly learned to eat everything. That was one of the things we were supposed to do, eat everything on our plates. Eat a little bit of it anyway, if we couldn't eat it all. But we were supposed to. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that didn't hurt you too bad, did it?
Oh, no, that's right. We thought it did then, but
oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Well, we would criticize them. But so there was things that we learned that we wouldn't have ever learned if we hadn't gone to the settlement. And especially these teachers from the north, they had different ways and they knew more than we did about certain things and they taught us.